And now to the message for today, which, you know, I heard so many interesting and good comments about the sermon last week that I thought maybe I'll do it again. No. I thought maybe I'll do a follow-up on it. The silver lining, and the idea was and is that we as human beings have our pressures, our feelings of worthlessness at time, things that happen to us, and we call them sins, and you wonder if God forgives us, and we make mistakes, and, you know, we have all of that happening to us on a daily basis. But there is always a silver lining where God always provides, as the verse that we just read, he takes away our fears, and then he gives us new pleasures in which we find that God is always with us. He's not out pointing the finger at us and trying to punish us, rather lovingly, always forgiving, always giving us the strength, and then moving us in that silver lining that we never thought we had or even thought, and God then blesses us all through our lives. So today we're going to do something like that also. Message today is entitled Orphan Queen. Now, when I say orphan queen in the scriptures, you know the orphan queen in the Old Testament, in the book of Esther. And probably most of you, if not all of you, know a whole lot about that. You've read out about it. You have heard sermons on it. There was a little girl that had all kinds of problems. But let us read the Bible, the scripture lesson. And the scripture lesson comes to us from the book of Esther, chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And it goes on for a long passage more than that, but that is all we're going to read today. Now there was in the citadel of Susa a Jew in the tribe of Benjamin named Mordecai, son of Jair, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Kish, who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Among those taken captive with Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This girl was an orphan, who was also known as Esther. She was lovely in form and features, and Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when the father and mother had died. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many girls were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther also was taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. The girl pleased him and won his favor. Immediately he provided her with her beauty treatments and special food. He assigned to her 7 maids selected from the king's palace and moved her and her maids into the best place of the palace in the harem. And this is the word of the Lord. As we know the story and try to figure a few things out at this point, we find that it is the way it's told to us here is like a play. If you have been in a play, or, you know, when you go to the theater, little theater or whatever, and we see a production, there is a lot that goes behind the scenes and a lot of work that goes on in terms of preparation. And here is the same thing in this passage that we see. It's like a play. You need certain characters that fill the part of people that are going to be in the play. Hadasha, and she was the queen, and so she probably was the main person in this play. She became the queen of Persia eventually. Mordecai was a cousin of hers. When she lost her mom and dad, who died, somebody had to take care of her, and it was in the Hebrew tradition that families will take care of each other, and there was a tradition of who would do this, an uncle, a cousin, and whatever. In this case, Mordecai happened to be the cousin who was in charge of the little girl whose mom and dad had died. King Xerxes. We always need a king, somebody powerful out there. King Xerxes was a powerful man in Persia. Now remember, we're out of Israel, so we're in exile now. So this little girl is going to be thrown into some kind of a situation that is totally unfair and foreign to her. Matter of fact, she's in a foreign land. Haman, in a play, in a production, you have the good people and the bad people. And here you have the bad man. Haman was not a good man, but he was a powerful man. A deceiver that even the king didn't know. Because he was doing just what was supposed to be okay for the country. But things were not quite what they appeared to be. Now, the king, the situation that happens here is, and it's interesting, that all of this happened because the king had a problem with his wife. They couldn't get along. Now, the king had all kinds of concubines. There was a harem there. He had no problem that way. But he wanted a queen. A queen maybe that he could control. A queen maybe that could be helpful to him. He wanted somebody different than all these concubines. So as Cinderella goes, remember that when someone, the prince needed a wife, he sent out emissaries all out through the area looking for somebody who could fit that little shoe. In other words, he wanted to find that person, that right person, to be his mate. And so he sent people everywhere until Cinderella came through, and you know the rest of the story. Well, the same way happened here. The king wanted a virgin. She had to be a virgin, the right type, and the pretty one, and the one that really could be part of the kingdom, and one that he could maybe control or teach anyway. And the emissaries went out all over the place, and they found this little girl, Hadashah. But she had changed her name, or at least she was called a different name, not the Hebrew name. And it makes sense, because she was in a different land, and she did not want to be recognized. Her cousin, who had been taking care of her, gave her instructions, do not tell the king that you are Hebrew, that you are Jewish, because you're going to be in trouble. So she was really good at keeping track of what Mordecai, who had been taking care of her, was telling her. Now remember, he adopted her as his own daughter. And he loved her very much, and he wanted her to be safe. And he wanted to make sure she did well in even a kingdom that was not in their own land. Well, as it happened, the king didn't know the girl yet. It took about a year to get her prepared to meet the king. Preparations for beauty, probably she was taught how to deal with the king, how to speak and whatnot. And eventually she was brought to the king, And the king was happy. She was kind of nice. Nice looking. Seemed to be a good girl for him. Well, somewhere along the line, Mordecai, when he was by the king's gates, and he spent a lot of time out there, heard that there were two people who were plotting to assassinate the king. Mordecai knew, obviously, that was wrong, but how do you tell the king that that's going to happen? And he knew who the two people were. He had to step out of his comfort zone to be able to do that. But he was willing to listen to God first, regardless of any fear. So he went to Hadashah, this little girl that was to be a queen, and he said to her, there's a problem here. And somewhere along the line, you need to let the king know for his own safety. Well, the little girl now, being that she was a Jewish girl, didn't know how to do it. But she went to the king, and the Bible says that the king moved his scepter, and that was a sign for her to touch the tip of the scepter and be accepted to speak. And she spoke to him and told him what was going on. And of course, he was upset, but he was very happy to know that now he could do something about it. As it was, so the people who were accused of this possible crime were taken care of. Well, according to what is what's happening here, still there were some questions as to what was going to happen in the kingdom and in with these people and with her as a queen. And this bad guy that was a very high official in the king's court, he knew what was going on, and he didn't like this Jewish guy over by the gates. And he was going to do something about him. Mordecai was in trouble. And he knew that he was going to be a problem to the king eventually. Somewhere along the line, Mordecai mentioned to the little girl, to this young girl, that Haram, this bad guy, had a plan to get rid of all the Hebrews, all the Jewish. But he was going to go through the king and tell him that he was going to make sure that he was safe and that he will take care of any problems out there, but that there were people that had come in exile that were not doing the things that the king wanted. And therefore, he said, I got some plans. And the king says, do whatever. Just get it done. He never listened. He never understood. He didn't know who it was. But Haram was going to do this thing. You know, it reminds me when I was in high school, I'm sure you all, some of you probably were in plays. I was in the senior play. And it was in Mexico. And it was an interesting, funny play. And because my accent, they chose me as a bad guy. I was a bandido. I was dressed in black with a hat, black hat and everything, and my boots for as a cowboy. And I was supposed to have been the one that was stealing and doing all kinds of things. Well, I need a gun. Well, they went over to the sheriff in town, and he was able to give us a broken gun. But I wore this thing, and I felt really good about it during the play because I felt powerful. And so the play took place, and it was a fun place, but you needed that bad guy. But eventually they caught up with me, and they put me in jail. I lost out. Well, it was happening this way too because, you know, God has a way of making sure that the right thing happens eventually. Sometimes we have to go through very difficult situations and it hurts. And we wonder, is God anywhere? Does he hear my prayers? Is he anywhere to save me if I get in real trouble? You know, God is always there. And this thing here is not a play. God had control of everything. As the Bible says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Just remember that. Because the next time that you feel a sense of weakness, a sense that things aren't working your way, a sense that somebody is talking against you, a sense that things are just falling apart, that's when you're weak. That's when God's power is the greatest. And he tells us here, it's a promise. It's not just something we read in the history books or in the Bible and it sounds good. It is the truth. So Hiram was in trouble now because now we have a man, Mordecai, who heard about what was in his mind, and he said to this young girl, who was probably about 14 years old, when she came to the king and was presented to him, and he said to her, you know, this is what's going on behind the scenes. And that man, Hiram, who is the official leader of the land right next to the king, he is going to punish the Hebrew people. And he said, you know, you are Hebrew. You are a Jew. And your family will suffer. So we got to do something about it. And she says, I will. I'll do. What do you want me to do? He says, well, you got to tell the king that this is happening and who is responsible. Well, as a good Presbyterian, she says, let's have a banquet. Good food. Food is always a good thing. So she said to the king, King, I got some situation that needs to happen and a request. And he says, half the kingdom will be given to you. Just give me your request. And she said, well, I need to have a banquet and I need your right-hand man to be there, Hiram. Okay, well, we'll do it. The king had no idea what was going on. But then the banquet came, and this young girl, queen of this whole area, now Persia, when the king says, okay, now we're here, what is your request? And this young woman, with no doubt God's spirit in her, trembling as she might have been, because what was going to happen to her, she said, you know, our people, my people, I am Jew. I'm a Hebrew. You didn't know that, Mr. King, but I'm a Hebrew. And you love me, and I love you, and we're okay. But there's one person that doesn't like him, and he's going to do away with Mordecai, my cousin, and away with all the Jews. He has a plan. And the king says, who is that? Who would do that? And she motioned to the man who was there. Haman is the man. The king was upset. He was amazed. He couldn't believe it. He says, it's impossible. Well, Haman knew that it was possible. He was doing it. And as things went along, the king made sure that that was the truth. And Haman had already erected a place to hang Haggai, and Mordecai, and there was the gallows. And the king says, send this Haman man to those gallows and hang him. You know, it's just an interesting story. And what it tells us is, and you know, is this book of Esther and one of the Psalms are the only two books that don't mention God. But all through the story, God is present. This is what's so wonderful about you and I being followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God is involved in every area of your life. We might not see him. We may not be religious. We may not be in church. We may not be singing songs of praises. God is still there. We may not see great things happening. We may think we're really horrible and look at what happened to me and my prayers aren't being answered. God is still in control and he wants the very best for you. And so the story touches us all. And God bless the ones who put down in writing something that is not just history. It's not just a story, but it's real life. God loves you. God loves me. Let us pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank you for being such a wonderful God who loves us, who forgives us, who touches us, who deals with us with loving kindness. And Lord, we pray that as a church and as ministries that we do here, we may touch people as we have in the past, also with a great and marvelous love that Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to give us life, has shared and given to us. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.